My name is Amy Purdy. After losing both of my legs at the age 19, I bounced forward to become a three-time Paralympic medalist, one of Oprah's top 100 thought leaders, a New York Times bestselling author, a Dancing with the Stars runner-up, and a world-renowned motivational speaker. I also host this podcast, Bouncing Forward, where I invite the most inspiring and motivating people on the planet to talk with me about what it takes to survive, thrive, and figure out the possibilities. This is the fourth episode of a special series called We Have a Goal. During these four shows, I'm introducing you to some really incredible people addressing big global issues like peace building, equality, inclusivity, and sustainability using sports. I am so honored that the International Olympic Committee has asked me to introduce you to these amazing young leaders. I promise that you will leave each episode inspired and encouraged. I want to take a second to acknowledge Panasonic. Panasonic is the founding partner of the IOC Young Leaders Program, and they are the sponsors of this episode. They are absolutely committed to giving the IOC Young Leaders support to not only do great work, but also to share it with the world. Thank you, Panasonic. The three remarkable IOC young leaders that you will meet today are focused on sustainability. Mesa from Lebanon, Shinola from Nigeria, and Niccolo from Italy are each raising awareness and acting against climate change. As we all know, clean air and water impacts global health and well-being, and they are using sport as the catalyst to make Earth a healthier place. Climate change doesn't just impact some of us. Every single person on the planet is going to be impacted in some way by the changes that are happening on Earth. It might be with food that's more expensive, crops that are harder to come by. It might be the extreme weather situations that we're all experiencing, flooding, fires, blizzards, extreme heat. There might be simply fewer places to enjoy the beautiful natural outdoors that we typically take for granted. My snowboard career has taken me to some of the most beautiful places in the world, and it's really sad to think that those places and those climates may not exist in the future. And in fact, we're seeing a lot of changes as it is. For example, so far this year, so I'm in Colorado right now, and so far this year, if it continues going in the rate that it's going, this is the shortest winter that we've had in Denver in a historic amount of years. And that means that we've gone a historic amount of time without snow in Denver. And of course, the ski resorts are outside of Denver, so luckily we don't have to worry about skiing here in Denver, but it just goes to show how much things are changing, and there's just such a huge lack of consistency that's happening in our weather patterns. Niccolo is an Italian environmental advocate with a special interest in water and water sports and surfing, the marine environment, and coastal zones management. His project connects academic and research institutes with sport clubs so that the athletes can both learn about the environment and collect data that scientists can use in their research.
Hi, Amy. I'm Niccolo Di Tullio. And I'm from Genova, Italy, the northern west part of Italy. And in my role of IOC Young Leader 2021-2024, I'm going to develop a project about environment and sport, in particular about climate change and general environmental awareness. And with my project, I'd like to, first of all, increase the awareness about this topic. And I mean, it's not 100% negative on my side. It's just knowing what's going on. And the second aspect of my project will be helping people and research centers and universities and academies and so on to have more data to study provided by sports people. So it will be sports people being sort of little scientists going around with their surfboards or with their skis or with their bicycles, collecting data for researchers. So this is more or less my very simple explanation of the project.
I think it makes so much sense to have the athletes be the data collectors, because as you know, with surfing and water sports, I mean, you're in that environment. So you actually get to see the changes that are happening. How did you go from being an athlete to an advocate?
You know, while I was studying at university, I saw how long I stayed in the ocean compared to what researchers do in their normal research life. And what I could understand is that actually it was me staying much more in that environment they were studying, season by season, month per month, or even year by year, to really see and feel the change of the climate change. Even more, it would be fun. Because if you're doing sport outdoor, normally you have fun, or it doesn't matter what you're doing, you're outdoor with your friends and you can, it's like a win-win situation. You do something for the community, for the environment, and at the same time, you're having fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's perfect when you can align your passion and purpose together, because I feel like your passion is something that you do for yourself, but your purpose is something that you do for others. And so you're able to do both. And it makes me think of what I could be doing more of, being a snowboarder as well, because we see so much change in our environment and our climate where we're at. We live way up high in the mountains and we get typically tons of snow and we know our season. But after you've lived there for years, we've lived there for almost 10 years now, you dramatically can see the changes that are happening. Did you get inspired to do this just because you were seeing change happening?
Yeah, I felt changes on my skin. And there is also a nice sentence I like to recall, that is, if you are not feeling part of this broader sense, holistic sense of ecology, so also humans are part of the ecology, somehow you also lose the sense of equity. I mean, we are as much as a bee, as much as a monkey or an, I don't know, a tree is here on the planet. So it also somehow recalls to me the idea that ecology without equity is just gardening. So everyone can do his part.
Right.
To improve it.
You also mentioned a few minutes ago that what you've experienced as far as the environment goes or climate change isn't all negative. So I'm curious what you meant by that.
Yeah, we call it climate change mitigation, if you'd like to slow it down, but you can also adapt. So it's about climate change adaptation. You know, it's something we have to deal with. There is no choice. Right now, it's too late, definitely too late to stop it. So what we can do is to use our knowledge, our science, our engineeristic knowledge to also adapt to these changes in a positive way. So for example, renewable energies with those heat waves we have in the inland zones in big continents like Asia or also the Northern America or even Europe, why not use those heat waves that are not fun for people living there, but maybe we can use them to produce energy. Yeah, it's trying to change the threat into an opportunity.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a question that I had, was do you at all feel defeated, as if it's too late for change? Or it really sounds like you feel positive in the sense of, let's put efforts towards adapting to climate change.
It's a realistic and proactive approach. I always try to see how things are and what's going on, and I try to be positively active on what's going on. So it's also my way of thinking and my way of life. I don't think you have to feel defeated, and you are the best teacher for this. I mean, also, I've been coaching the national surfing team, parasurfing team, and what I'm learning every day from them is that adaptation is like the most important value we have as human being. So we are not defeated by climate change. We can just continue adapting to climate change and find the best way to improve our condition within this change.
Right. And it's in everything, the micro and the macro, right? And humans have an incredible ability to adapt. And the world has an incredible ability to adapt. I feel like that's not talked about a lot.
Yeah, I was thinking about a question. Why are we the dominant species on the planet? The truth, and that's what biologists say, is that we are the most adaptable species. If we are cold, we just dress.
Right.
That's thanks to technique we could develop. That's also, I love ancient Greek myths. And that's what Prometheus, I don't know if you maybe know the story of Prometheus, he gifted the humankind of fire. He is sometimes represented with a stick that represents technique, because we can really adapt to every condition on the planet.
Obviously, you are really motivated and inspired to make positive impact in this world. What would you say to somebody else who wants to make change but doesn't know where to begin?
I sometimes find inspiration from boredom. So when I get extremely bored, I really find that little flame inside my mind that's saying, hey, why are you not doing this? And then I start following that way. And that's my way of getting inspiration. You know, sometimes listening to other people, it's very important. It's about learning and knowledge and about, getting inspired, listening to others. But you really have to follow what you feel inside. What's burning inside you? What's your demon?
Yeah.
So there is, again, another Greek word is called eudaimonia. It means what's the good demon inside you? Let it burn. Feel possessed by this demon and do it. And you can find a way.
I agree. And I love that you said that, because I often find when we focus actually on the things that kind of pain us, something that really upsets us, that can be linked to our purpose as well, because then you're passionate about trying to fix that or trying to make an impact in that space. So that can make a huge difference.
Yeah. And being in the nature really helps you with this. Because you are like, when you go surfing and you are alone in the water, that's the feeling I love the most. Or when you go kayaking and you're alone in the water, always with safe conditions, always. Little spot advertisement about a safe sport, but always feel safe. But sometimes it happens that you are alone also on the top of the mountain when you go running or when you go skiing, you really have the time to feel it, to listen to yourself.
I've loved this conversation. I feel like I could talk to you a lot longer, but I have one more question for you, which is, what does being an IOC young leader mean to you?
For sure, that's an honor. And it's also a big challenge. I mean, we are every day challenged by this role, because to me, the IOC represents the dream of a lifetime. I couldn't be an Olympic athlete, but really still he is in my mind the benchmark, the gold standard for everything into the sport field sector, because it really has the standing for leading the sport in for a better future.
Nicolo makes a really good point here that connects sustainability to sport. So as an athlete, I'm always looking for small improvements and advantages, ways to be just a little bit better. And those tiny improvements add up. So same with climate change, we don't really need to focus on addressing climate change in its entirety or even reversing some of the damage that's been done. But we have enough information now from science and experience that we can start to make little tiny adjustments and little tiny changes that will each add up and contribute to huge improvements in the health of our planet. Mesa is an architect and a former Lebanese table tennis champion. She is working to both promote gender equality in the Middle East, as well as creating sustainable cities and communities. Her project for the IOC Young Leaders starts with providing orphanages with sustainable and recycled table tennis equipment.
Hi, Amy. I am Maysa Psaibis. I am an IOC Young Leader representing Lebanon. My project name is Keeping Hope, Amal in Arabic. Amal is hope for all Lebanese children. So Lebanon now today is facing an economical crisis, and there is a lack of well-being and unequal opportunities for underprivileged kids in Lebanon. So during this difficult time, people cannot afford to buy sports materials. I always like to mix my creativity and architectural skills into sports. So I thought, why not designing and building low-cost table tennis tables, bats and nets with unconventional design, and implement them where orphans can benefit for their own mental health and development.
What inspired you to bring this to orphanages? Why did you combine the two? So sustainable table tennis, but then also being able to help some of the people who are in orphanages.
Yes, orphans in Lebanon now during these difficult times are facing a lot of problems, and centers don't have the resources in order to do sports events. So I thought, why not doing it in orphanages in order to develop their self-confidence, their life skills through table tennis?
I know you've explained it a little bit, but where do you source the materials from?
Yes, so I have a wood carpenter I know very well. I ask him to please, I want the remaining wood for a project. So for example, when he's doing houses, when he's cutting doors or tables, he always put the leftovers for me. So this is very important that I am reusing them and benefit from them through my project.
Why is sustainability something that you're really close to? Is that something that you're just really driven by and passionate about?
Yes, coming from a little country that do not take into account the recycling yet. So we are empowering people to reuse and recycle the garbage. So in Lebanon here, it is not well done. So as an IOC young leader, I said, why not engage the Lebanese community and the sports organizations to raise awareness about climate change in order for the youth and the next generation to have more similar values in Lebanon towards a green future.
What kind of obstacles have you faced when initiating this project?
Of course, building the materials. It's really hard. I have a team, my friends, they are architects, and also my fiance is an architect. We are collaborating together. So we are designing, we are sketching and brainstorming. So we are on the designing phase. We are cutting the wood. And next month, I guess, we will start gluing the off-cut wood and coloring them in order to have our tables.
I can only imagine how complicated that gets, like, especially if you're just getting scraps. And then maybe once you figure out the formula, you have to be able to recreate that as well, so that you can make even more balls and even more table. How has doing this project impacted you so far?
I'm so happy while doing it, especially that I'm doing something that I love, mixing my career into my passion. I can't wait to show you, to show the world what we are doing, to see that we can do amazing things from trash.
I'm really excited to see your project. I think it's incredible what you've done. You're amazing. Like, to connect so much of what you love in your life, but then also to connect all of these topics that you're really passionate about and issues that you're passionate about, you've kind of wrapped it all into one. And I just love how accessible it is as well.
Yeah.
I love that it's something that can be brought to anybody, anywhere.
Yep. Yeah.
I know that you are passionate about gender equality as well. How do you interconnect that with your project?
Yes, so I will also add table tennis activities only for girls. And I will also recruit women coaches into the project in order to empower them, women volunteers, The project is overall impacting climate change and gender equality at the same time.
Here's my last question for you. What does being an IOC young leader mean to you?
It means to represent my country. Lebanon is not well known. I am representing the Lebanese culture. So we are ambassadors of Olympism. We showcase the sports values. And I especially showcase table tennis in the best way. And the connecting with people from different countries is really amazing. And also today, it is really amazing to talk with you, Amy. It is really a pleasure for me, and I'm so happy right now.
What I love so much about Mesa and the way that she's approaching her Young Leaders Project is that she's combining all the things that she loves. This truly is a passion project for her. She's helping young orphans discover sport. She's encouraging young women to get involved. She's creating a more livable planet by using recycled materials to create her table tennis equipment. And with every step, she's inspiring others. Mesa is the definition of a young leader, and I am so happy and honored that she was able to join me and share her project. Shinola is a water systems engineer who is also very passionate about sports. His IOC Young Leaders project will develop sustainable water systems for sporting activities across Africa that are tailor-made for different conditions, which will eventually encourage more grassroots participation in sports in that area.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Amy.
My name is
Oli Shinaola, but Shinaola for short is fine. So Shinaola is okay. I am from Lagos, Nigeria. My IOC Young Leaders project, it's about developing an alternative but sustainable source of water for sporting activities in Lagos, Nigeria.
Is there anything that inspired you, any particular moment, particular experience that inspired you to do your rainwater project?
First of all, I'm an engineer, practicing engineer. Since my university days, I've been developing water systems across different sectors. So that is the foundation for the passion for water systems and water engineering. Just recently, my team and I developed an alternative and sustainable water system for a large poultry farm. So we're trying to centralize the water systems in poultry agriculture and make an alternative source of water for the beds instead of depending on groundwater. And then why not do this in sports? Because I'm also a big follower of sports and a big lover of sports. Water sources are finite resources. The major reason is because of poor management of water resources. Aside from the fact that we have the mammoth issue of climate change, we've bastardized the use of water, especially groundwater. And this will lead to an impending water crisis in the future. So this is probably the reason why I'm so interested in developing sustainable water systems that ensure that we manage our water resources so that it can last us for years to come and generations to come.
And so what kind of sports could be supported through your project?
All sports. This sustainable water system I'm trying to develop is for all sports because there's no sports that does not require water, whether it is water sports or non-water sports.
What is the current situation around clean water access and usage in Nigeria?
Yes, there's the problem of clean water in Nigeria. And this is not solely because of poverty or because of the low standard of living in the country. No, this is because there is a structural problem. There's no concrete water systems in most parts of Africa. So what it means is that a lot of people have to supply water by themselves, which leads to groundwater contamination. Because not everyone has the capacity. Not every company, not every sporting facility has the capacity. Even if they have the money, capacity to properly harvest water, or to get water from the ground over whatever source and purify it, make it good enough for consumption. So just imagine that it's even difficult to provide water as clean for drinking. So if there's not even enough clean water for drinking, imagine how it would be for sports.
Right. Yeah. So you're saying there's already a problem with groundwater. So why continue to use that for some of these things that you could use rainwater for? And so what happens? I mean, I don't know what the climate is like in Nigeria, but do you get a lot of rainwater? What happens if you're relying on the rainwater, but then the water's not coming?
Yes, I was expecting this question, and I have been asked about it a couple of times. When there is no rainfall, where will people get water? And I say very simple to people that ask me, when there is no rain, there will be no water, but it is an alternative source. It is not a major source. So what it means is that we are not going to discard the other sources of rainfall, of water. Groundwater is still going to be the major source. Rainfall harvesting is going to be an alternative source. It's going to reduce the pressure on groundwater, which will inevitably increase the propensity of water management in the country. So this idea is not yet to stop groundwater. It cannot. Groundwater is the major source of water for every activity. But what it's doing is instilling this spirit of sustainability, the idea that water resources need to be properly managed.
And so then what does the process look like? Like, what do you have to put in place to be able to do this? As far as even the purification process, is that pretty simple to take the rainwater and then to be able to use it in sporting facilities?
The interesting thing about my project is there's no cast in stone design for rainfall harvesting. Like, the idea behind it is simple. You trap water from the sky before it gets in contact with any other external affairs. So water coming from the sky, you trap it and then you pipe it down to a tank. And before it gets to a tank, or after it gets to a tank, you purify it. So it can be just as simple as that. Or it can be as complex as you want it to be. So my idea is to start small and then build it up. We will use the water from the rainfall harvest system for maintenance of sporting facilities. Also, rainfall water is one of the purest forms of water that is available to man, as long as it doesn't interact with anything when you get it directly from the sky. It's very pure, so it can be as simple as possible and can also be complex, depending on what it's intended to be used for.
What do you think the relationship is between clean water and sports? And how important do you think clean water is for sports?
Of course, there's no guessing that clean water is very important for sports. Aside from the fact that sporting structures have become multi-million dollar investments, so it means that a lot of people are coming to sporting facilities from different parts of the world. I do not have the data, but I can imagine how much water is consumed. For example, the Olympic Games, to service the athletes, to service officials, to service fans, and then to go to grassroots, which I am more worried about. Growing up as a child, after school we used to go to play football, and we'd come back home very dirty, and our parents would be very angry with us. They didn't like that we would come back home so dirty. And the major reason we'd come back dirty after playing sports, there was no water available to clean up. And then, last but not least, maintenance of sporting facilities. Water is required for maintenance. In the absence of water, we discover that we spend millions of dollars building sporting facilities, but it begins to decay at the very moment it's not properly cleaned. So that is another importance of clean water for sports.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, the whole ecosystem really of sport is supported by having clean water. You know, over here in the US, it's something we definitely take for granted. There's no doubt about that. But I think it's fantastic that you're finding renewable resources and alternative resources to be able to support athletes, because, and not just athletes, but anybody in sports, because I mean, sports are so important for development and growth and function and teamwork. I have one more question for you. What does being an IOC young leader mean to you?
That's a very good question, because it means a lot to me. The IOC Young Leaders Program has given me the opportunity to put this plan into action, especially in regards to sports. I've seen over the years a lot of people who have left sports because of lack of access to clean water. This opportunity has given me the chance to help people on their sports journey. Aside from that, I've also been able to reach a lot of people across a lot of platforms, and I've spoken about my idea and have gotten a lot of encouragement, a lot of support. So I'm grateful for it.
I'm just so inspired by every single one of these young leaders and the difference that they're making in the world, the passion that they have. You know, Shinola truly has a vision for the future. With his project, he's putting systems in place that will impact generations. As we discussed earlier with Nicolo, Shinola understands that the best way to address an issue In this case, lack of water is by looking at better and more efficient ways to use what we already have. This helps today, but it also demonstrates a really valuable way to approach some of the sustainability issues that cannot be reversed. I want to thank the International Olympic Committee and all the young leaders who joined me today, Shinola, Mesa, and Nicolo. It's so inspiring to see these young leaders look at such significant global issues and take action on a small level to initiate change. There's no way to measure how far the ripples of their ideas and work will travel, but it's certain that they are making this planet healthier for all of us. Panasonic, as the founding partner of the Young Leaders Program, has made a commitment to make positive changes in so many important areas. All of the stories you've heard over the past month and on this podcast series would not be possible without their support, and it's so appreciated. Over the course of the series, we met 12 IOC young leaders and learned about their projects, but there are 25 current IOC young leaders representing 25 countries and 5 continents. Each one of them is making a huge difference, and I encourage you to learn about all these gifted people and their projects at olympics.com. More information and links are available in the show notes of this episode. Please make sure, if you loved today's program, that you subscribe to Bouncing Forward so you don't miss any of our future episodes. And if you use Instagram, I would love to hear from you and know what your thoughts are. Thank you for listening to We Have a Goal, a special series of Bouncing Forward.